Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all. Nobody blown away with the storm. You're all here. Well, it is nice to see you. We're turning to a new chapter. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel, and we're looking at the chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Matthew. We're going to read another parable, and while we're reading, we look also at not only the parable, but the Saviour's explanation of the parable. Always remember this, boys and girls. There is an explanation in God's Word of what it is God has said. He doesn't leave people puzzled and wondering exactly what He means. God explains Himself. And that's something you should ever remember. Scripture explains Scripture. It may not be in the next line that you find the explanation, may not be in the next chapter, it mightn't even be in the same book that you have been reading, but there is always an explanation within Scripture of what it is God has said. That's why we have to read all the Bible. And that's why we have to read all the Bible carefully and systematically. You can't just dip into it here and there. Some people are in the habit of. They're in a bit of a rush, and so they open the Bible and they look for the shortest psalm, and they read it. Now, you can never really learn what it is the Bible's saying by reading in that fashion, any more than you could ever learn the plot and the storyline in a book if you just rushed in and just read a bit out of anywhere in it, and the next day somewhere else. You'd never learn what the book is about by doing that. And you'd never learn the Bible by reading in that fashion, systematically. Read your way through the Bible. All right, let's read the Bible then this morning. Matthew chapter 13, the verse 24. Matthew 13 and the verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now move down the chapter a bit to the verse 37. And you have the explanation. He answered and said unto them. Now, he answered because he had been asked a question. A request had been made. Look at the verse 36. The end of it. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered. He didn't say, go away and find out yourself. No, he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. When we come to this particular part of the parable, I will show you why, instead of reading the end of the world, because, boys and girls, let me tell you, the world doesn't have an end. It doesn't have an end. When God created the world, he created it that it would last forever. The word translated world there really should be translated in our Bible as the same word is in other places, translated age. So it says the harvest is the end of the age. We're living in an age. I suppose we could help us understand this truth by saying that you're living in the age of Queen Elizabeth II. Or you could say you're living in the age of the internet. certain things, main events, in a time, give their name to that particular time. The internet's a big thing. It really is the biggest invention in recent days. And these are days of the internet. Or as I say, you could lengthen out the parameters of this particular time in which we're living and say it's the days of Queen Elizabeth II. And if you're doing history, you know that history will speak about the Elizabethan age, or the Puritan age, or the Reformation age. And those are times or titles given to specific periods of time. Now, we're living in the New Testament age, and there is coming an end to that age. And that's what the harvest speaks of. When the Lord Jesus comes back again, that's the end of the age. That's the end of the age. I only intend to say in a word or two, but we'll look at it a little more when we come to it later on in our studies. And the last phrase, and the reapers are the angels. Men are going to see angels one day. You are going to see angels one day. The world has very funny notions about angels. But one day we'll understand as we see them doing the work of God. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the field, so shall it be at the end of this age. End of this age. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Now, as you already have noted, we're going to be looking at a new parable. And it is to be ever remembered, ever noted, that the Lord Jesus, in order to instruct his disciples in the truth of the gospel, he turned to everyday events that were taking place around them. Everyday events. And he said, do you see that man out there sowing seed? Well, let me tell you, you have in his actions a picture of the gospel kingdom. And he uses the farmer sowing his seed here in this parable again. We've just looked at how he used the farmer sowing his seed in a slightly different way in the last parable. Well, he's back with the same scene, the same illustration, but he's showing a slightly different aspect of gospel truth in the sowing of the seed. I have to stress to you, boys and girls, I have to stress to you, and I pray God will give you eyes to see this. Every time you look out there, and we live in the country, there's none of us live too far from farming activities. And in that you're blessed, because out there in the fields, God has painted pictures of the gospel. Painted pictures of the gospel. You are never, never, never far away from a presentation of the gospel truth to your eyes. How can I use the word anxious? How anxious God is for you to understand the gospel. He is so anxious, again, I use that word, he is so anxious for you to see the gospel that he keeps a picture of its many aspects ever before you, especially us who live in the country. Now, I want you to notice also in the verse 24 that these words are directed to the disciples. Another parable put he forth unto them. It's for your instruction. Them, that refers to the disciples. And it was for their benefit. He was teaching them. Oh, the word of God is chiefly directed at you and me, dear Christian, for our comfort, for our guidance, for our help, for our instruction. And if you're not saved today, there's a word in the Bible for you as well. Let me point out to you the first thing I want you to notice. In this parable, the Lord Jesus gives us a picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Remember what his explanation said. Verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So this parable is all about the activities within God's kingdom. What the Lord is doing in this world today. What the Lord is doing in the world today. There are very few who ever understand or see or think about the fact that in this world there is the kingdom of God. Every day we read about the kingdom of the United States, of the United Kingdom, of Russia, of North Korea at the present time. We hear all the time what they're doing in these various territories, what their leaders say, what they plan. But the world never thinks of the most important kingdom that there is here on this earth, the kingdom of God. Do you ever think about it? Let me tell you a little bit of history. It's a good piece of history, something you should understand. We're going away back to the year 1596, and we're going to Scotland, not too far away. In 1596, a man called Andrew Melville, who was the successor of John Knox. John Knox is dead. There has come about what we call the Second Reformation. There's a fresh stirring in Scotland. And the leader of the Protestant cause, the gospel cause, was this man Andrew Melville. And he made a famous speech in 1596. And he made it to the king, King James VI of Scotland. And he addressed the king. Man, it's good to have brave men that can do that. Right into the face of the king, he said these words. There are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland. As well as you, King James VI, there is Christ Jesus, the King of the Church, whose subject James VI is, and of whose kingdom he is not a king. Nor a lord, nor a head, but just a member. That was a good truth to set before the king, who was a professing Christian. And for that reason, Andrew Melville called him a member of Christ's kingdom. But he's reminding them, there's two kingdoms here in Scotland. You're the head of one kingdom, but there's another kingdom of which Jesus Christ is the head, and you're only an ordinary member. That was a good truth to bring before a king. Sadly, King James VI of Scotland paid little heed to Melville's words and went about ordering affairs regarding the cause of God as if he was the king of God's kingdom. And just like him, there are many people who never give much thought, never give any thought indeed, to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in this world. We had a storm yesterday. It was quite a bit of hullabaloo, quite a bit of advance publicity. I'm not so sure that, for us here anyway, that it quite lived up to all they said it was going to be. Though down in the south of Ireland, there was an awful lot of damage and sadly people lost their lives. But everybody in Ireland, at least, became aware yesterday of something. The moving of the air. That's all a storm is. Air rushing from one quarter to another. That's all a storm is. Most days we never think about the wind. But everybody was thinking about it yesterday. Most days no one ever thinks about the movement of the wind. Because it's moving gently, making no noise. Hardly any signs of its moving. The leaves are only fluttering very gently. And it's a pleasant, cooling influence. Well, that's just like the kingdom of God. The Lord said that the Spirit of God in this world moves like the wind. Like the wind. Now, the wind is always with us. The air is never really absolutely still. It's always moving a little. Even on the best of days, if there's a cloud in the sky, it's moving. Maybe slowly, but it's moving because the wind is carrying it. And so in this world, the Spirit of God is ever moving. But like the gentle movements of the wind, very few ever notice or think about the moving of the Spirit of God until God moves in anger and fury and judgment, a storm, and that happens. And then people begin to give thought to God. I was reading just, well, it's a few weeks ago, of a man involved in an airplane emergency. And the oxygen mask suddenly dropped out of the little compartments above every passenger on the plane. And the plane was jostling and bumping about. And the signs came on, fasten your seatbelts. And the stewardesses were flurrying about up and down the aisles, and there was a general panic. And this man said, to be quite honest, up until that time I was basically an atheist. I never thought about God, but I began to think about him then. Thought he was going to crash, you see. Thought he was going to die. Then he began to think about God. And sometimes men only notice the wind when it's blowing in fury. Men only think about God when it seems they're going to encounter his judgment. Oh, boys and girls, I want you to understand, in this world, there is the kingdom of God. And you should be aware of it. You should know about it. You should think about it. Because if you're saved, you're part of that kingdom. You're a member of that kingdom. And God has a duty for you to perform. We'll think more about that later, but may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of your hearts and the school today. Let's bow in prayer. We do thank thee, Lord, for your precious word. Oh, bring it to life to us, we pray. Make our eyes to see, our ears to understand. Bless the children today. May they give thought to these things, O God. May they hear the voice of God speaking to them. Meet the need of our school. That need is great, but greater still is God. Answer prayer, we ask now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.